a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We ride here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Brought to you by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anybody in the mood for a quick, tasty, nutritious boost. G2G Bars, partners of Unrivaled now. What? You got to think?
I'm kind of into this Hard Knocks thing. The NFL thing, HBO.
You don't have to tell me twice.
No, I'm like.
Don't spoil it for me. I haven't started it yet.
No, I won't spoil it for you, but I'm really kind of liking this old Dan Campbell guy. I didn't think I did originally when I thought he's kind of a blowhard. And he's like.
Well, he's a defensive coach, so you naturally have a disposition.
He's a tight end.
Yeah. Oh, see, I thought he was like.
No, he
has that old school hard head.
Offensive linemen and defensive coaches are kind of the same thing. That they're, you don't want them.
You don't want him?
No.
What do you mean?
You don't want him as a head coach.
Oh, why?
I wouldn't want him.
Well,
now,
geez.
As a running back, I'd want him, but not as a quarterback.
All right. But you're liking Dan Campbell so far.
I am, a lot. Here's a very interesting thing that I noticed. And he claims, he goes, I know what people are going to say, but I really felt these were the most qualified people to hire. Now, he's a former player in and of himself. And he has on his team Deuce Staley, Aaron Glenn, Mark Brunell, Hank Fraley, Antoine Randall L.
Oh, yeah.
And Kelvin Shepard.
Yeah, but why would people...
And they're all former players.
What does he say people
and
will
all
say
on, then? They're all on his staff.
Why does he say people are going to be critical?
Because
then?
There's kind of this split. Like, I've always been a firm believer that the best coaches would be former players. I really would, and because you just know, and you understand, and if you can teach people the game, and if you're halfway intelligent, awesome. But so many coaches are afraid to do that.
Yeah.
They're afraid. So Sean Payton, which I found this out, actually took in Dan Campbell, just said, yeah, come here, and you can just learn under me, and I'll teach you everything I know. He says, that's what Bill Parcells did to me. He took me under his wing, and he just taught me everything, everything he knew. So I'm paying it forward. But I was like, when I saw this, that to me, quite frankly, was the biggest shock of watching Hard Knocks, because most NFL coaches who aren't former players aren't going to get former players on their staff. And I think a lot of people are like, well, they're not really good coaches. They're not this. They're not that. And I just disagree with that, which is another reason for me to tune into this whole thing and see, are they going to be any good this year?
Yeah.
You know, are former players actually okay?
That's what this does. I end up falling in love to some degree with every team that's on Hard Knocks, I kind of go, you're kind of pulling for these guys. Can't help it, right? Yeah. We'll get into that, I think, a little bit. I have some sound, not from Hard Knocks, but from opening day training camp, because we were watching that the Jets are getting this thing ready, and Zach Wilson's being asked to do some interviews with the Jets and get this season underway. And I've got some quotes from Robert Saleh you want to hear a little bit later. First, let's kick off the hour. We always do with the cut here at the top of the program. Let's get into some basketball here.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org. Here's the newest one here, Scott. Just with NBA trade rumor stuff, I think it's great. I think it's great to watch other teams just flailing around. And it's fascinating to me that the Celtics are coming off of it's not just a finals appearance, right? They made the finals after being under 500 halfway through the season. And so they have this massive turnaround. They had the talent. And we figured out now, yes, they did have the talent. You think about the defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart. You think about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Even old Al Horford getting involved, right, to some degree in the finals. I mean, he had a career night against them in game one, right? But what's interesting about this is that Kevin Durant is sticking his nose in everything and going, it's like you watch those movies and like the king goes, get me that thing over there. Give me that. Just give it to me. And that's what Kevin Durant's doing. He's leaning towards Boston. Now, initially, the reports were, Scott, that for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and maybe even a pick or two, the amount of real estate that Kevin Durant's going to command moving anywhere is going to be pretty high. I don't know one team, Scott, that would look at the Kevin Durant situation and think, man, we have got to have that player because it almost seems like he's turning the corner into a toxic guy in the locker room. And I don't know, maybe he's already been there for a lot of fans. But the reality was is in Brooklyn, he was the least of your concerns because you have Kyrie Irving, who's a problem in the locker room. James Harden, who wasn't happy, right? So you have all those things going on. Kevin Durant was kind of hiding in the back going, yeah, I'm just the best player in the world. I'm just trying to get these things done here. And he was injured and all that. But Kevin Durant says he wants to play for Boston. Might even want to just go back and play with James Harden and Joel Embiid. Any other requests while we're at it there, Kevin Durant? I mean, the reality is that this guy, he is the best player in the world. But at some point, LeBron was too. But everybody sees what he's done in L.A. And besides the bubble year, people kind of look at him in L.A. and go, well, he's sort of stuck there with a bunch of guys who aren't going to be as good as he is.
I think part of maybe why Kevin Durant is being so public about all these different options is I think that he's putting it out there to these teams.
Reverse tampering?
Well, kind of dangling it in the air, just saying, hey, you know, I'd be willing to go there. And then those teams know what would have to happen, what they'd have to give up, who they'd have to partner with and have these multiple team trades. And you know, because on the one side of it, it sounds like, man, that is so pretentious. Like to say, well, yeah, of course I'd want to go play in Boston. Of course I'd want to go play in Philadelphia. Of course. And rightfully so. I mean, Kevin Durant goes, I don't want to play on a bad team. But he also, I think, is just potentially putting it out in the air somewhere. Hey, look, I'm really good. I'm this carrot dangling out there that could be that one piece that could put you over the top, and you can have me. You know, I'm not necessarily committed to one or two teams or one place or whatever. And that may be enough. You know, you think of Donovan Mitchell and the carrot that the Utah Jazz have dangled to the New York Knicks. You can have Donovan Mitchell. We want you to have Donovan Mitchell and figure out how to make it happen. And so, because apparently, for anyone to get traded, and it feels like anyone could get traded in the NBA, you gotta shuffle, maneuver, discuss, talk to a whole bunch of people, and hope that it all fits together, and you get everybody in agreement on it. And maybe as teams get closer to their training camps, or maybe as the season gets started, teams have a clear idea of what they really are and what they really need, and or who they really are and what they really need.
I just don't know. Like maybe any GM is just tripping over themselves to get him. I mean, I guess that would be the case, right? If you have the opportunity to get the best player in the world, the thing is with Boston, do they feel like they're a KD away from winning that championship finally?
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or do they look at it and go, don't mess this up, dude. Like, we had a team dialed in last year. We were only good for half of the season. We were the best team in the second half of the year in the NBA. So why can't we just run this thing back and we have young guys and let's get this thing going? Getting KD into that locker room, there's that certain segment of people who are going to go, and Brad Stevens, who's the GM now at Boston, has to be looking around going, oh, boy. Okay, well, how could we make this work? Could we make it work? Is it going to be something that we would want to make work? Do we want to mess up what we've got going here, which is a good thing? Maybe they look at it and go, yeah, but we didn't win the championship. We're not good enough to beat Golden State like this. From an NBA standpoint, I think KD in a Celtics uniform, that'd be pretty darn cool. And they would be the beyond favorites in the East if he went there. But does that mean it's good for the team? Is it good for the locker room? Do they get worse when they add a guy like this and take away a couple of guys who really found their stride? And the Jazz, to an extent, good news is they don't have to worry about any of this. But the Donovan Mitchell trade actually does end up.
But couldn't the Jazz look at this? I mean, are the Utah Jazz ever going to be able to go out in free agency and land
a big name, a whale like that?
No. like Kevin Durant?
Nope.
Never happen.
You got to draft him.
So you got to be bad. You have to be bad if you're ever going to get that great player. Come on, there's something that Utah can do.
Oh, you're talking about to make a deal for KD
or someone of his caliber.
He didn't say he wanted to play in Utah.
He didn't say he didn't. He didn't exclude it.
Well, look, the Nets.
Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe the Jazz say, look, KD, maybe you should consider this.
Okay, now they've soured. The Nets seem to have soured a little bit on KD because he got so vocal about their head coach and their front office.
Well,
get rid of them or get rid of me.
He was burning all those bridges because he wanted to get out.
So he wants to get out. And then the ownership goes, we're standing by our guys. So they don't like the way this guy's – so it's like when somebody's about to break up with you and you go, I know where you're going with this. I actually want to break up with you first. So the Nets could try to burn him by going – because in the end, I don't know what the trade or no trade clause would look like for a guy like Kevin Durant. But in the end, like if this team goes, we want to move this guy, and if the Jazz came up, who would they have to give? All that stuff they got for Rudy Gobert, gone out the window. Right, in terms of the picks that they have coming for him, and then Donovan Mitchell, because now the shoe's on the other foot, right? Now we're talking about instead of the Jazz being in the driver's seat to get a bunch of picks, now they suddenly have to shell it out if they wanted to get a guy like Kevin Durant.
It gets people
nutty thinking about the idea. There's no way
it's all nutty to think about.
He's
any
never
of it.
Going to be a Utah Jazz man. Stop talking like this.
I'm merely asking the possibility. Because I'm just tired of not winning a championship. Something's got to give. They got to do something.
Yeah, I don't think they're I still think it's going to be a minute. Okay. Ben Anderson has a nice write-up over on KSLSports.com that you want to check out. And the Jazz have 3 first-round draft picks next year, okay? But the question is the Jazz are the Jazz picks going to be any good? And if you go there and read Ben's article, you kind of get a little bit of a download on some of these guys who are there. They get the Nets pick, which in that case you kind of go, ooh. A Kevin Durantless Nets team, enter Royce O'Neal to try to take over there. I don't know what it's going to look like if he ends up.
It's a little bit more complicated than just how the Nets do. It's kind of
other
teams, and basically 2 or 3 teams have to be really bad.
They've got the Minnesota Timberwolves pick. Right? And then they now have, and they also own a 2023 draft pick of their own. So this is where the tanking comes in, right?
The best draft pick the Jazz have
is the one that's is their theirs. Yeah. Because they're in the driver's seat on it.
They can control that. Yeah. Most, yeah. And you just hope with the other ones that they end up somewhere close, right? So, you know, somewhere. What it looks like to me is the Jazz, their own pick could be somewhere in the first half of the draft. You know, maybe a lottery pick. And then the second pick could be somewhere in the middle. And then the Timberwolves, because the Timberwolves are probably going to be pretty good. So it's in the 20s, right? So it looks like to me the Jazz are going to – because we talk about probabilities, right? Because you just don't know who you're going to draft. You don't know if they're going to pan out. So the more picks you get, the likelihood of landing on one of those picks is a lot higher. So the Jazz, it looks like, potentially could be picking early in the draft, in the middle of the draft, and at the end. And maybe they make trades, and they try to trade up, and they try to get someone they really like. But the likelihood that the Jazz are going to get a good player and maybe something, you know, that's decent out of that draft with those picks could be really good. But then what? Like, okay, so, I mean, unless they trade Donovan Mitchell – the Jazz really are kind of about where they were, right? They're, you know, say they don't trade Donovan Mitchell, I guess is really
right.
What I'm thinking,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they got three picks. Now they're going to get picks in the future
from
the Timberwolves. So maybe they get another guy a year or two down the road. But Donovan Mitchell's going to leave after his next deal's up, or he's going to get traded. But you want to trade him, right? So you can get some value. So you get something out of him now. Doesn't feel like, unless they trade Donovan, they're going to get enough to really retool this team in a significant way to make a real run for a championship.
Ryan Smith, of course, getting involved and having this high level of, we want to go in and get this thing. We've got to carry the torch. He knows what his charge is, right? But there's that part, too, that, you know, having a brand new coach in a brand new, I guess, I mean, Danny Ainge isn't brand new, but everything's different about this team.
It's a new regime. It's a new era. It's a new ownership.
And the roster is going to be very, very different.
New jerseys, not the state.
Oh, I was like, what? No, I got you. Are there? No, there's not new jerseys.
New uniform colors.
Oh, those.
The palette.
See, I'd forgotten about
it. The palette's changed.
My son suddenly
likes black
and yellow.
The palette with which to build off of has changed.
My son suddenly likes black and yellow. I'm like, I'm not falling for this. We're not buying. And he was like, we should get Donovan Mitchell.
Black and yellow, that's the Salt Lake Bees.
Maybe that's what they're doing. They just can do a full cross. They're like, look, we're going to lean into this Bees brand and go full black and yellow. And it's going to be, they're going to have to change the colors up a little bit on the Bees. Change the colors up. They've already done it with the Jazz. There you go. Let's just do it. I just don't think that I don't think that Donovan Mitchell leaving. I mean, it's just like at some point you go pull the trigger on this thing. We've got to just make a deal because I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him starting out the season. It just delays everything for me. It delays everything. The tanking doesn't really feel like it's going to be happening when Donovan Mitchell's out there playing his butt off. The over under on the wins were what? Jared, we saw the
32.
No. It was 26. 26 is what Vegas set the over-under on the win losses for the Jazz this year. And I think that if Donovan is here, it's probably more like 30, right? If Donovan's not here, 32 and a half? Where did we get 26 from?
I don't know. I said 32.
Oh, did you?
I listened, Jeremy.
I swear I heard Jake and Ben say it was 26 today.
Well, you can't believe anything Jake and Ben say.
No, you can. I don't know which. Yeah, who knows? Anyway, it keeps changing, for me at least. And now I'm pissed because I feel like you're both wrong. You know when somebody goes, no, you guys are all both wrong. Everyone looked it up on the internet, but I'm still right.
What's crazy about 32 wins? Probably puts you in the playoffs. I mean, with
10 teams getting
in? Yeah, with the parity deal, you're fighting to get in the playoffs.
We're kind of swapping things. The East is going to start having like all the winning records in the playoffs. Then, yeah, you're going to start seeing, Hey, Jeremy's Houston Rockets could make it to the play-in game.
You have Memphis. You have Memphis. You have New Orleans. You have Minnesota. You have Golden State. You have Phoenix. You have the Clippers. You always have LeBron in Los Angeles. You never know where that's going to end
up. Well, the Nuggets and the Timberwolves are probably both going to be top five teams.
I mean, that's a lot of really good teams. And you have the Dallas Mavericks. You got a lot in the West. Did we say Golden State?
The Supersonics still win. In the West? Yeah, no, they did win.
And Portland may be better.
Nah.
Or worse.
Yeah, I'm going to go that way.
I mean, the worst teams in the West are going to be like Portland, Sacramento, Utah.
Yeah, it feels weird to say that.
And then it's
going to
be Houston and San Antonio.
How many games do you want them to win then?
None. Can you win none? I want. I don't care.
Listen, it would be there would actually be something amazing to watch about an 0-82 basketball team. There would be something, even if they got like, even if it was so ridiculous, like they were 9-73, you know, or something, something like that.
I want the team to play poorly for the next couple of years, and then buy
next
season,
couple of years.
Well, and then buy season tickets.
They'll drop down out of the bottom? Yeah, right.
And then this team will start its surge.
Did you see the prices that the Jazz threw out there for the All-Star game?
No.
Like the luxury booths and stuff like that, like the experiences you can do. It's an insane amount of money. Like normal people.
Not happening.
You're not going to the All-Star game. I think Upper Bowl tickets are going to be in the $200 range when they just, like, not secondary ticket sales from the Jazz are going to be in the $200 range.
Wow.
And you can do, like, a meet players over the weekend, blah, 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 and it's an insane amount of money. And, yeah, it's going to be the least accessible ticket probably at Vivint Arena, not just for a sporting event, but for anything probably ever.
Insane.
It's going to be hard.
I'm going.
Oh, you're going to go?
Why not?
We can probably get a credential.
Yeah.
Scott Mitchell Media. Hi. Let me through the door. Yeah, the security got to know us enough across the street over there. They'll probably just let us in. Oh, yeah. I know you guys. At least you know you,
what
Scott.
Are you guys here for? Oh, we're doing our show.
Oh, okay. Wait, what? And then we're already in the arena. All right. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we've got more to go here on the program. I'm still trying to make myself right. I am still trying to. I'm still trying to find a 26 over under on this thing. All right, we'll come back. More to go right here on Unrivaled. Brought to you by G2G Bars, natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs a quick, tasty, nutritious boost. Gluten free, packed full of protein. Let's get this thing going. We'll come back right around the corner. NFL Roundup. Stay with us. Unrivaled continues.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.